Hi everyone, my name's Thomas, and I'm here to talk to you about my absolute passion, railway modelling. Most kids get into this hobby because they love the trains themselves, and who can blame them? For me, however, it was the architecture that really captured my imagination. I've always been fascinated by the intricate designs of Victorian railway buildings. When I decided to start building my own layout, I didn't begin by constructing a massive platform. I initially thought about having a go at a signal box, but I actually began my modelling journey by constructing a small ticket office. It was quite basic, but it taught me a lot about scale and proportions. Nowadays, my main goal is achieving meticulous historical accuracy. I want my miniature stations to look exactly as they did in the 1920s. You might expect me to use old architectural plans to get the dimensions right, but those are incredibly hard to track down. Instead, I rely almost entirely on vintage photographs to get the details exactly right, studying them for hours with a magnifying glass. When it comes to the actual construction, many beginners use cardboard because it's cheap, accessible, and easy to cut. However, I prefer working with plastic as my primary material. It's much more durable, doesn't warp when you paint it, and holds fine details beautifully. People often assume that the miniature trains themselves are what railway modellers spend exorbitant sums on. While the engines are certainly costly, I actually invest the largest chunk of my budget into the lighting for my stations. Getting that realistic, warm, ambient glow of the 1920s requires some very expensive imported LED bulbs and wiring systems, but it's completely worth it. I also spend hours perfecting the interiors of the buildings, even the parts that are hard to see from the outside. Recently, I spent 3 weeks just painting the tiny wooden benches for the platform. But the most challenging part of my latest project was decorating the interior of the waiting room. I even replicated the intricate geometric pattern on the floor tiles using a tiny brush, which took incredible patience. To truly bring a miniature station to life, you have to look at the daily clutter. Initially, I tried adding miniature luggage and cargo crates, which looked okay. But what really transformed the scene and gave it authentic character were the tiny posters I glued to the brick walls. They add a real splash of colour and historical context to the platforms. Of course, a station feels completely empty without people. Some modellers love placing railway staff, like guards, drivers and porters, everywhere on the layout. My preference, though, is to position dozens of passengers around the scene. I love capturing them in the middle of a story, reading newspapers, sipping tea, or rushing to catch a train. I occasionally take my stations to exhibitions to share them with the public. We used to hold our local club meetups in the town library, but we soon outgrew that space. Now our main annual exhibition is held at the sports centre, which has a massive hall with enough room for all the different layouts and the crowds that come to see them. So, what's next on my workbench? I've been debating whether to tackle a grand railway hotel or a rural coal mine for the next section of my layout. In the end, I've decided to construct a rather elaborate bridge to connect two different landscapes on my current display. It's going to be a huge challenge, but I can't wait to get started. Thanks for listening.